in your prayers tonight.
Amen.
Now, what I'm going to attempt by the love of the Lord, by the help of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Is I'm going to attempt to tag on to two messages that's already been preached and give you a doctrinal side of it. I've never done this in my ministry that I can ever remember, preaching over 41 years. But this come to me the other morning before I left Oklahoma. The other day, I don't know if it was morning particularly, meditating and thinking. And this hit me, and I'd never even thought of it quite this way. And I actually done some studying and everything on it before I come. And then Brother Marty got up and started in the other night. I thought, well, he's going to preach my message. Thank the Lord. Well, he didn't do it. He left me enough for at least 30 minutes.
Okay.
So, but I got news for you. This could get tight. And what I mean by that is I need your backing. Because, well, I just do. I just do. I need your backing. I need your prayers. Because this could get a little bit close in a way. And because I'm going to come down on some things that are not biblical and hold up the actual biblical truth. People can take offense at that sometimes. All right, what I want to preach on tonight, let's turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter. And what I want to talk about, Brother Marty said, whatever it takes. And Sister Mary, then your burden this morning, I can't think of the word you used.
Making an effort.
What I want to talk about tonight is heaven. And I want to ask you the question of just how bad do you want to get to heaven?
Wow, that's so
cool. Tied in, like I said, Brother Marty's, whatever it takes. Mine's how bad do you want to get to heaven? You think about it. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell?
Yes, it is.
Do you believe in it?
Yes.
Have you thought about it? Do you really consider what you're in could be? Listen tonight. You and I are going to stand before God. We're going to deal with God someday. We're not going to deal with the president. He doesn't know who we are. He don't even know we're meeting down here. He's clear across the world away from us. But the bottom line is there's one God. That God is controlling everything. He's right here. He knows the hearts and the attitudes, the thoughts of everybody's hearts tonight. And you and I are going to deal with Him now. We're going to deal with Him in the future. And we're really going to deal with Him at the end of life. And if you and I want to go to heaven, there's a way to get there. There's one way to the pearly gate. There's one way to have glory. There's one way to have power and authority. And if you and I don't do it, listen, folks, we won't get there. The Bible declares what we've got to do. It's no joining the church. It's no handing $50 bills or chocolate cakes. There's a bottom line. The Bible said you must be born again. If you're going to go to heaven, we've got to do it the right way to get there. All right, let's go to Revelation 21. I want to talk about heaven a little bit. Brother Marty and I talked on this thing about, 3 hours about a year ago. I've done some reading about people that's died and gone there and come back. But it says here in the 21st chapter of Revelation, the 18th verse, it said, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, I ain't pronounced all these right, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein. And the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need for the sun, of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Heaven. way you've got to go to get there. Listen, folks, fools are not going to err therein. You and I have got things we got to do. We've got to do them God's way. He's there. He's the king of it, so to speak. He's the one that has put it all together, and he's got a plan. He's got a roadmap, and if you and I don't follow that roadmap, we won't get there right. We'll get ourselves in trouble.
Yes.
What is heaven? Heaven is a place of glory. Get 406 here. Heaven, 406, heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. All within its gates are pure, from defilement kept secure. Sin can never enter there. Listen, there's people tonight that have had funerals today that's lived all kind of wishy-washy lives and sinful lives, and some of them been preached right into heaven. Oh, they made it. Listen, folks, sin cannot go to heaven. If sin is there, God wouldn't be there. Sin's not going to be where God is, and God's not going to be where sin is, so to speak. So consequently tonight, it's a holy place. It's a righteous and godly place. It's filled with the power of God. It's full of Jesus Christ. It has all the angels there. There is power and authority. There's grace. There's glory. There's rest. There's peace. There's glorious singing. There's no devil there, praise God. There's no sin there. There's no bills there. There's no electric bill, water bill, light bill. There's nothing like that. Listen today. It's a place of glory, a place of grace, of power. Listen tonight. How bad do you want to get there? There's a book out called 90 Minutes in Heaven. It was a minister that got killed. He was run over by the back of a trailer, big old semi-trailer. He had a small car and his trailer come down, his truck trailer come down. Anyway, the way he couldn't get out of the way of this truck and the train, somehow the trailer got over and literally run over his side of the car and crushed it and killed him right there. He went to heaven. He said he got there, and as he was coming up, he said he was met with mentors, family, people that he'd gone to church with, and so forth. Quite a crowd of people come up to meet him as he was coming to the gate of the city. And said he was approaching, they were hugging and they were talking and visiting and so forth. And said they were all, this large entourage was going right toward the main gate. And he said, I got to the gate, and he said, I peeked in. He said it was glorious gold. Mm-hmm. It was the most beautiful thing you'd ever seen. And about that time, the Lord said, come on back. And he brought him back. Mm-hmm. What happened is another minister that had been in a minister's meeting or minister's conference, they probably called it. He had come upon this deal, saw the situation, and the Lord told him, said, I want you to pray for this man. He knew him. He knew his life. He said, I want you to pray for him. So he talked to the highway patrol and the paramedics, and they said, sir, he's dead. It ain't going to do no good to pray for him. He's dead. Mm-hmm. He said, Lord told me to pray for him. He's dead. He said, the Lord told me to pray for him. The guy said, he's dead. He said, well, go on and pray for him. And he did. And the only way he could get to him was a hatchback small car. He literally climbed in the back and went as far as he could. He couldn't get it very close. He reached literally all the way across the back seat section and laid a finger on his shoulder, his right shoulder, if I remember right. And he started praying. And he began to pray and beg and plead. And all of a sudden he felt the man move. And he began to keep praying, ma'am, come back to life. That's when God brought him back in the body. And he come, he went out and he went to the people. He said, go to that man, he's alive. They couldn't believe it, but he was alive. If you don't believe me, read the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's quite a book. But he come back. But he said it was gold in there. It was beautiful. He said he'd never seen anything like it. Listen, folks, the light and the singing and the gold. I've read about the mansions that are there. Read about the trees that are there, the different things that are there. They said they're glorious. It's beautiful. It's beyond what anybody can ask or think. It's more than you and I can comprehend in our mind. But listen, folks, there's one thing I know. I don't know what it's all about, but I know one thing. I want to go there. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
I got a wife done going up there. Got twin boys up there. And quite a number of relatives up there. I might as well join them, praise God. And shout a little bit, praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, heaven. How bad do you want to go to heaven? It's beautiful there. Heaven is a glorious place.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's filled with glory and with grace. Oh, tonight, do you want to go to heaven, the holy place? Said if you hope to dwell at last, when your life on earth is past, in that home so bright and fair, you must be here. You must here be cleansed from sin. Have your life of Christ within. Sin can never enter there. If you live in sin below, heaven's grace refuses to know. But you cannot enter there. It will stop you at the door. Bar you up forevermore. Sin can never enter there. If you cling to sin till death, listen folks today. People don't want to give up their sinful ways, but they want to go to heaven. How many want to go to heaven tonight? How many wants to go? Most people want to go to heaven. Most people don't want to die and be lost. But listen, if you cling to your sinful ways, heaven will be the place you will not go, and hell will be. If you cling to sin till death, and you draw your latest breath, you will sink in dark despair to the regions of the lost, thus to prove an awful cross. Think about it. Thus to prove. In other words, it will be proved to you. I had a type of a vision a number of years ago. I was praying. We're down in Myrtle, Missouri. And I was in Cousin Harlan's home and seeking the Lord and praying that morning. And I saw Christ. And Christ was standing there and he had a big banner right across here. I can't tell you what else he had. But it said the word. Listen, folks, there's people that have left us, turned against us, walked away from us. There's people that have gone out there and said, we don't want you. We don't agree with your doctrine and so forth. Listen, he said, I am the word.
Yes.
Listen, we're going to deal with God at the end. The very thing that he's put in here is what we're going to deal with when we get to meet him and deal with him face to face. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Oh, tonight. If you cling to sin and sin to death, oh, tonight if you hold on to it, refuse to do what God wants you to do, you're going to pay an awful cost. All right, let's go to Acts, the 7th chapter. Acts, the 7th chapter. We're talking about Stephen here. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost and faith, I believe the Bible said. He was a powerful man. He preached quite a message. He got people stirred up. They decided they were going to do something with him. And 7:54 it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost and glory, said, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Listen tonight, there is a heaven. And Jesus is there. And God is there. The Holy Ghost is there. And some people say, well, there's going to be only 144,000 people in heaven. Listen, folks, that's knocked out in the Old Testament when he told Abraham that his seed was going to be as the sand of the sea. Listen, there's thousands upon thousands of people that's in heaven. Do you want to go? And how bad do you want to get there?
That's right.
Oh, tonight, Stephen looked up and saw him. Listen, Jesus still stand up for you if you need him to.
Yes, he will.
Being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing. What did he see? He saw glory, he saw power, he saw heaven. He saw everything that God would allow him to see. And Jesus standing on the right hand. And he gets on down in here. Stephen, he had such a spirit about it. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, tonight, there's a way to heaven. If you was going, now I'm of the old school. I don't know that I'm so old particularly, but I'm of the old school. And what I mean by that is I got an iPhone. I got one of the latest ones out. And you know, you can push Google on there and it'll pop up maps and show you all kind of things. But when I was going down to Brother Dan's the other day, Brother Dan said, Brother Carl, be careful. You get in an area where there's no service. If I got in an area where there's no service, I'd lose my map. So Carl Schaefer beats that. I go back the old way that I was giving maps away 40 years ago, whatever it was, back in the 70s, giving maps away. And I got me a Kentucky map with me, and I look it up if I need to, praise God. Listen, there's a road map to heaven tonight, and it's called the Word of God. And it's the right way, the only way. It's the way that the old timers used. It's the way that is written by the very blood of Jesus Christ. And he put it in place for you and I to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you, you can't Google it and go there. You better go God's way. You better go the Bible, because there's a lot of people out that reading things and seeing things and doing things that know what God wants them to be. And I'm going to tell you now, there's one way to the pearly gate, and that's through this right here. I'm going to tell you, let's get back to where it needs to be. Let's get to the foundation, praise God. Brother Seven, one time, him and Sister Verna, there was a woman that they had met and so forth, and she had come out and taken her stand, and she had backed up and so forth, and they was having some problems. Brother Seven, Sister Verna went there to have lunch with her, believe her, dinner. While she was cooking, he was looking. And she had some bookcases full of books. And he got to looking at them and reading them, just kind of browsing through them. And a little later on, they got to talking. He said, the first thing you need to do is get rid of all of that. Listen, there's stuff out there that'll lead you wrong. Yeah. Go back to the foundation. Yeah. Go back to the Word of God. If you don't read anything but the Bible, read that and go to heaven, praise God. Yeah. There are so many books and papers and ideas and things out there that's leading people to hell, folks. Amen. Let's get it where it is. There's too much stuff out there that hinders people and hurts people. But there is one way. One way to the pearly gate, and that's the Word of God. Oh, tonight, it'll get you there. All right, let's go to John 6 and 44. What I want to do is I want to tell you the steps to heaven. I don't think I missed any. But you preachers, if I missed one, you tell me, or you tell them, whatever. But tonight, there's a way to get there. And those of us that has got it, has gone this very way. 6 and 44, the good book of John. I get over the right page to read right. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. All right, the 16th chapter of John, and the 11th verse, I think it is. Let me see here. John 16 and 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin, and righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, saints, the bottom line is, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Listen, the first thing, the only way to get started, is he's got to draw you. He's got to convict you. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's dangerous to mess around with convictions.
That's right.
People want to just do it their way. Yeah. When God is calling you, you better listen. Right. When he's dealing with you, you better listen. Listen, he may not give you another chance. Some people think, well, I just do anything I want to. No, you can't. You're going God's way, or you're not going at all. And when he's calling, when he's desiring, listen, I told my girls, I said, when I call you, I want you to come. Yeah. If they didn't start, I started counting. Uh-huh. And the further I got, the worse it could get on them if they didn't get themselves in there real quick. Sister Herbert Gill, she told me, she said, I'd start and I'd call their first name. If I got to their last name, they were really in trouble by that time. Listen tonight, when God starts calling and he says, come unto me, all you that labor, it's time to start listening. If you're under conviction this meeting, well, I'll just wait to hear, or I'll do it there. No, folks, you better do it now. Now is the day of salvation, not another day. You may not get to another day. You might not get to the end of this meeting. It is serious. When God is calling, you and I need to listen.
That's right. Amen. That's so. We need to listen.
Holy Ghost come. He said here of sin. I'm going to tell you, he lets you know what sin is. He lets you know wrong is wrong. And he deals with you. And he calls and convicts and he stirs. And he lets you know you're wrong. That is wrong. The lying is wrong. The cheating is wrong. The adultery is wrong. The fornication is wrong. Those things are wrong. And all the other things out there, the lust of the flesh, and all those things are wrong. The drinking and the smoking, the gambling, and all these things, that sin is wrong. And God will accuse the Holy Ghost, and he will call, and he will work, and he will deal with you. Yes. Don't turn it down. Amen. Don't say, I can do my own thing. I'll be all right. I know a man. I know of a man. Mother tells this story. He was down in the state of Mississippi many years ago when she was younger, much younger. She'd been dead for a number of years. Now she died in, what, 06? January of 06. So, and she was 80, I think, or 81 when she died. Well, this was back 65, 70 years before that. And this man had been dealt with by God. And he kept turning it down and turning it down and turning it down. One night during a meeting, the Lord said, this is your last call. And he didn't heed. And he said, folks, I knew when I turned it down, he said, I could never go to heaven. I could never get there. She said he would stand and plead with people to get saved. Right in meeting, after messenger, he would exhort them. I think it'd be a pretty good deal. I don't like the idea they could ever get there. But the idea that he had the experience, what should shake people up? Listen to folks, that has happened more than one time. Brother Ingrid Allen, some of you probably don't know him. Some of you maybe heard of him. I worked with him for over 3 years. Close. We traveled all over this nation preaching the gospel coast to coast, north and south, and even up into Canada. And he and I worked together. He said he was in an old schoolhouse meeting there, and the Lord had been dealing with him. And got down to one night, and the Lord again said, Egbert, this is your last call. He said, folks, I made my way to that altar and I done it quickly. God saved him.
Yeah.
He delivered him and saved him.
Yeah.
Sanctified him later. Called him to preach and used him in the gospel work. Listen, folks, tonight, God does not have to do what you want him to do. You better do what he wants you to do. Tonight, Peter said, I got time. I got plenty of time. My brother sings a song, plenty of time. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of time to think about the time that you turned to death and you ended up in hell. Those altar calls, those times that the Holy Ghost talked to you, begged you and pleaded with you. Come unto me, all you that labor. Come unto me and live for me. Come unto me and be my child. Listen, there's going to be people in hell that thinks about those altar calls over and over and over. And they wish they could do it every night. But there's no chance. They're lost forever. So the call is important. It's vital. And then in Matthew, I keep quoting this one. It says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Oh, tonight, come. That is a universal call for everybody. It's good for saints. It's good for sinners. It's good for everybody. The Lord wants you tonight to come. But again, if we don't follow what he says for you and I to do, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. The quickest way you can get there is not too quick. I was dealing with a woman one day in her home there, Rebecca and I, and she doesn't know anything much about religion and so forth. And we were talking, and I said, I beg God. She looked at me and said, you beg God? I said, I sure do. I get on my knees and I just weep and beg. I plead. I need you, Lord. I've got to have you. I'm not anything. I don't claim to be anything. But I know this, that Jesus Christ is almighty. He's got all power. And he answers prayer. And he'll help you if I help you and I. If we'll petition. If we'll ask. If we'll seek and beg and plead and cry. Listen, I think I've become a fountain of tears the last 4 years. Begging people. Begging the Lord to help. To comfort, to work with people, to save people. I cry over and over in my prayers, begging for the lost and for those that are hurting, those that are bereaved out there. That's lost this one and that one. Oh, tonight you need to cry too.
Yes, amen.
Oh, come unto me, all ye that labor. What are you laboring on tonight? What has got you down? What is hindering you? Listen, saints, tonight, if you don't got victory, I'm going to tell you, you better get it, and you better get it now. There's no time to keep putting it off. There's no time to keep turning it down. There's no time to keep walking away. You'll never get it if you don't get it. And it's time to get it, and it's time to do it now. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. But sin can never enter there. If we're going to go, if we want to make heaven, if we want to see Jesus Christ and God at the throne and observe them and throw our crown to their feet, listen, we and you and I better go to by the way or we won't make it. Heaven is a holy place. Oh, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. Who's laden tonight? Who's heavy? Listen, if you're living in sin, you're doing the wrong thing. If you're going down the broad way, you're doing the wrong thing. Brother Sammons had a vision one time, and in this vision was a broad way. Multitudes of people was going down it, and said, down here there's a great chasm. And he said there was people, and he could hear people screaming and wailing. And said the people behind the other people were shoving everybody into that chasm. And he said, I was going down, and I was going like this. Turn around! Turn around! Turn around! Oh, saints and people tonight, I'm begging you, it's time to do something. Sinner, if you're lost, it's time to turn around. Saints, if you don't have victory, it's time to get victory. It's time to quit playing religion. It's time to get the old-time salvation, praise God.
Yes.
Amen!
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
It's time to get stirred up around here in Tillersburg, Kentucky. Oh, come unto me, all you that labor. What are you laboring under tonight?
Yes.
I will give you rest, praise God. He's the only one that can give you the real rest. There's people out there that make all kinds of claims, and religious bodies make all kinds of claims. And listen, folks, tonight you better go the Bible way, and you better do what God says for you and I to do.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Proverbs 8:34. And you pray for me. I just want the Lord to put out tonight what He wants out.
Yes, Lord.
This ain't my message. He give it to me.
Amen.
It's His word.
Yes,
blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Blessed. Listen, folks, now, well, in 33 it says, hear instructions and be wise. And refuse it not. You know, a lot of times instruction comes along, we don't like it. Remember back, folks, when you was young, some of you that's old enough to remember back that far. Remember back when mom and daddy used to tell you to do things and want you to do things and you'd buck against it? Oh, I don't like that. My mama wasn't saved and my daddy wasn't saved. Well, I think he claimed to be saved. He went to one religion and mama was Church of God and my grandpa on dad's side was a Baptist preacher and so forth. And so I was raised up in a divided house. Well, they taught me and they taught me and they taught me. And I have to admit, I listened to a lot of it. And when God come along and began to deal with me and began to call after me, when I turned my heart and began to pray and repent and confess and everything, when I got it, it's a lot of stuff I didn't have to lay down. There wasn't all them hard drugs. There wasn't all them cigarettes and all that. I'd done a little bit of stealing. I went and made that right. I'd done a little bit of this and that. But I'm going to tell you, God done some things for me in keeping me and preserving me that I still look back and thank God for it. Oh, I could have done some things, but God didn't allow that. He stopped it. And I appreciate it. I thank Him over and over. Listen tonight. When mom and daddy is teaching you things, when they're giving you instruction, children, I want to tell you, you better listen to us. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Respect them. Listen to them. Listen when God comes along and He gives us some warning when He deals with us. I'm going to tell you, you better listen to it. You better hear it. Bible said in James, I believe it is, James 1:19, said be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Oh, tonight we need to get our hearing and we need to get it real keen. You know, a lot of people hear what they want to hear.
Their spiritual hearing ain't worth anything, but boy, they hear a lot of other stuff. And they just listen, they're hearing. But let me tell you tonight, you need to get your spiritual hearing. You need to start opening your ears up to God. And let God talk to you and visit you in dreams in the night and in visions and so forth. And talking and dealing and working with you. That's what we need, folks. We need to get our ear and listen to the Holy Spirit say, you need to come to God. You need to be saved. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to listen to the Lord. 15th chapter of Proverbs. 15th chapter of Proverbs and about 31 here. The ear that heareth the reproof of wife abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Oh, tonight it's time to humble. It's time to get out and say, I don't know it all. It's time to get out and say, I need help. It's time to recognize that we're not doing what we ought to do. If we're not doing it, it's time to recognize, time to admit, it's time to confess it. I'm wrong. Some people want to hold on all the way through. There was a man one time. He was a young man. He was a son-in-law to a very wealthy man. Owned a big old mansion. Had two Lear jets. Had a pilot on call 24 hours a day. They flew people in from Dallas or Wichita. They'd throw a party and he literally would send his jets after, go get them and bring them in. He had money and lots of it. And so, pray for me. These people were very wealthy. And this son-in-law, he was married to Paul's daughter, Paula. And he was walking down a hall one day, and I happened to be coming from somewhere, and I just happened to look at him. And the way he was walking, pride was spilling out all over him. He just had such a proud walk. And I thought, buddy, everything you got come from your father-in-law. You didn't bring any of it into this. You married Paula, and Paul started bringing you up from here. Now you're driving your Porsches. You live in a nice home. You got money in the bank, and it all come because of your father-in-law. Listen, folks, everything we got tonight come from God. We ain't got nothing to be proud about. It all comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All of our gifts, all of our calling, all of our salvation, all of our sanctification, all of our assets, all of our money, all of our food, our cars, our land, our houses, our boats, our everything. All of it comes from God. There ain't no reason why you and I ought to be running around going, I got it. God told me the night he saved me, he said, in just a few moments I can take everything away from you. You can be ever so rich, and I can take it all away, son. Let me tell you tonight, I began to think, I didn't want those riches. I began to think, I didn't want all them houses and all that land, all that money. I began to think, I wanted him. He'd been dealing with me for months. I'd been turning him down and backing off. But that night, he got in the car with me, and he rode several miles with me, and he let me know, now is the night for you to get saved. And I done it, praise God. I give my heart that night. He let me know, you can be ever so rich, and I can take it away in a moment's time. There ain't been rich people in the stock, in the crash of the stock, the stocks crashed years ago, 1929, what I'm trying to say. When that thing busted, it took the wealth of many people, and some of them killed themselves. Because they were wrapped up in their money. 1987, they had another bad day. A lot of people lost their money that day. Again, what people do, they kill themselves. You can get yourself wrapped up in the wrong stuff, folks. You can get your ideas and everything all tied up in the world. And that's what Sister Angela preached about. We need the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world tells you to get this and this and this and this, and you'll be happy. Listen, the Bible lets you know that it all comes from God. And you and I tonight, we need to thank Him. We need to give it to Him. We need to humble ourselves and get what God would have us to do. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Oh, tonight is wise for you. It will be great wisdom for you that you listen to what God has to say. All right, let's go to Isaiah 57:15. This is one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible in some ways. I love this scripture. Preached off of it many, many times down through the years. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. The one that inhabited heaven, all eternity. He holds the whole world in his hand. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, I dwell in the high and the holy place. I dwell there. This is God, folks. This is God speaking to you and I tonight. This is God letting us know that he's speaking to us. This is the Almighty. All right, he said, I dwell in the high and the holy place, but he said, with him also. That is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Listen tonight. The one thing that you have got to do to get started in this thing, you got to humble your heart. Yeah. You're going to go to heaven, you got to humble. Like I said, that young man was so proud and so lifted up. There are people out there that just proud just like he was. There are people around the church of God. I'm not saying in the church. I'm talking around the church. And they're proud too. They think they're something else. But the bottom line is, listen, you and I have got to humble. You and I have got a chance to have God. We've got a chance that this great God, the great I Am, the one that died for you, he will come and live inside you. He will bring you up and bring you out, set your feet on a solid rock and make something out of you. Oh, tonight, if you'll humble your heart, we got to humble to the bottom.
Yeah.
If you're doing something wrong, it's time to start doing something right. Yeah. And to start to humble your heart. Humble your heart. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also. That is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Oh, are we contrite tonight? Do we realize that we need God? Do we realize we're wrong? Do we realize that we're in trouble? Wants to revive. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to do some reviving right here.
Yes.
He wants to revive people. He's coming by. He wants to revive you. Why he's here. He wants to fire you up. He wants to work with you and bless you and help you. Are you going to let him? The only way you're going to get it is to humble.
Yes.
Is to humble. Humble to the bottom.
Yes,
if you got problems with somebody, humble. You get humble and let the Lord work with them, and them get humble, you can get something done then. But you're going to have to humble.
Yes.
Listen, Jesus. Well, let's go to James 4 and 10. James 4 and 10. It says here, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5 and 5. It said, humble yourselves therefore into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves therefore into the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Yes.
Humble yourself.
Humble.
Listen, if we're going to have God, how did Christ get here? He humbled, didn't he? He had it all. But he humbled. And he came down. And he done what needed to be done. Several years ago, when I was serving as pastor in Guthrie, we had a Christmas gathering of all the young couples. Delmer and Brenda's out. We were singing some carols. And while we were singing, the Lord paid me a visit. And he let me know that he died. His birth was a birth of humility. And the reason it was to strike at pride. Because pride was going to take a lot of people to hell. So he had to strike at that. So consequently, he was born the most humble birth that a person can be born. He said here, let this mind be in you, which was also, I'm in 2 Philippians 2. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, who made himself of no reputation.
took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, the bottom line was, he emptied himself, humbled himself, and he come down here, and he took upon him the form of a servant, our fleshly body, and he done that for you and I to be able to have salvation. And the reason he done it is to strike right at pride. If he had been born in a big old mansion, big old castle, big old whatever, if he had had all that, it wouldn't have done what it done. But he can say, you got to humble. He left the example, and he tells you and I to humble. If we're going to have him, we're going to have to humble.
Yes.
Oh, tonight, are you willing to humble? Are you willing to humble? Listen, folks, tonight, humble down, leave the rest with him. Some people say, well, I can't do that, Brother Carl. Yeah, you can. Just humble to the bottom, leave the rest with him. He'll take care of it. You get where you need to be. There have been people that have sought God. There's one man in a Kentucky meeting right out here in Kentucky many, many years ago. And he would come to an altar in this tent meeting, this camp meeting. And he'd come down there and he would pray and he'd pray and he'd pray and he'd pray. And there's something that he kept praying up against. And he wouldn't humble. You know why? Because he knew that if he had to confess it, he'd probably go to the pen, maybe for life. So he prayed up at it, and it happened over and over. Finally, one time, way up in the morning, in his tent, he was praying up on the hillside, and he was pleading and crying and praying, and finally just got to the place. He said, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. And when he did, the power come down, praise God. They said he'd come out of that tent, and I guess he had quite a feast right there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The Lord blessed him. He was willing to humble, to get down. Listen, folks, no matter what you've done, no matter how deep you are, no matter what the situation, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ that's got all power in heaven and earth can help you in every way you need if you're humble. Get on down there and let him work. Get on down there. Let him save you, sanctify you, whatever you need. Listen, folks, it's time to get to the bottom. Now let's go to Mark 1:15. You got to hear. You got to humble. You got to come. Now then. Jesus says in Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Luke 13:1. Repentance. Well, let's go 13:2. And Jesus answering said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now the old gospel message that started with the good old fella named John the Baptist was repentance. And Jesus come right in behind him and he started preaching the same thing. Repentance. It's time to repent. It's time to be willing to make a turn. To be sorrow or to pain for sin as a violation of God's holy law, a dishonor to his character and his government. Oh, tonight, it's time to repent. It's time to see that you're wrong. It's time to say, I am not what I ought to be. And repent of that thing. Yeah. Feel sorrow, feel guilt, feel shame. Yeah. You'll do that if you allow the conviction of the Spirit to work with you. That's why repentance, that's why the conviction is so necessary. It helps you see where you are and what you are and what you must do. He dealt with me for months. There was one time at the kitchen table, I was sitting there, and Mama's on one end, I was the oldest child of 5, I was on the other end, had the other 4 between us there, and I was sitting there, and the tears were just streaming. And Mama looks down at me and goes, what's wrong with you, son? What did I do? She didn't do nothing. It's what God was doing. He was convicting me. I was wrong. I could see it. And I needed to repent. But I wasn't doing it at that time. I don't know where it was in the deal. I come to Guthrie the first time in May of 1971. I got saved in the fall. So it was somewhere in between there. And I don't know where. But the bottom line is, people got to repent. People say, well, just join the church of your choice. Well, you can take this doctor and that doctor. You can do this, you can do that. Listen, to get in to the church of God, to get in to heaven, the Bible said you must be born again. And to do that, you're going to have to repent. Listen, folks, we can't just join the church of our choice and go to heaven. Like I said the other morning, that guy was talking to me. He said, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And I got to thinking about it. I thought, that's not the point. The point is, does he accept you? You and I have got to do it right. We've got to repent, confess, forsake, and do what God would have us to do for Him to accept us. And when He accepts us, then we're on our way. But we're not going to get there if we don't do it right. We've got to do it His way, not our way. We've got to come to the place where we're willing to get to the bottom and confess and repent and beg and plead and be sorry that I've done wrong to the great God of heaven. And then He will move in. Oh, He said, repent. He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent. He's getting this thing down personal. Ye shall all likewise perish. Listen, folks, tonight, repentance is one of the key Bible doctrines. It is something that is there. And people out there in Babylon, they don't preach this kind of stuff. Just come join up with us. Put your money in the box. Make me a great rich preacher and so forth. That's not what it's all about. The bottom line is, if we want to go to heaven, we've got to do it right. And repentance is the way to get started. Be sorry. Listen, folks, we have sinned against God. Amen. If we're living in sin tonight, you've sinned against God. God is holy, righteous, and godly. And He sees your sin. People think, well, I wonder if they think they got it all covered up or something. I don't know. But He sees the very thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows all about what we're doing, where we've been, where we're at. You can't hide it. You can't cover it up. He knows all about your life. And the only way to take care of that is meeting face to face, so to speak, and humble your heart and repent to the bottom. Lord, I'm sorry that I done it. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Brother Salmon, the night he got saved, he prayed, and he really wasn't getting anywhere. Finally he said, Lord, if you do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. Listen, folks, He's a merciful God. And He will deliver you and save you and bless you. But you got to plead for it. Amen. You got to repent. You got to beg. You got to plead. You need to cry. Listen, there's too many dry eyes coming to the altar anymore. When I first got saved and was in the meetings years and years ago, let me tell you, a lot of them altars, you can about wash them with a tear. Now that I'm seeing people go down there, there ain't no dry. They're not even wet-eyed. They're all dry-eyed. And they're getting down there. Where are they getting? What have they got? It's time to get out where the fire flies. It's time to get out where the glory is. And that is repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you're doing wrong, if you're in sin, if you need to repent, I want to beg you to repent tonight. It's time to get out where the Lord is. It's time to get what He's got for you. Except you repent. Oh, these churches make it so easy to come in. They make it sound so wonderful. Plan of salvation is. Heaven is. It's glorious, but you got to do it the right way. Got to do it God's way. Listen, He loved you so much. And I might have told this last year, and some of you here have heard me, but I had a vision in Oregon, 1985. And in that vision, we was at the very song at the end of an ordinance service, and I was looking, and in an archway, there was Christ. And I can't tell you what He looked like. I can't tell you what He had on. But what He said, what stuck with me for years and years, what'd that be, about 40 years now, 42. He said, I died for you, child. He died for every one of you. And what that meant to me was this, that if I was the only person that had ever been born, he died for me, myself, that he could save me, deliver me, and take me to heaven. That put a load. The tears started streaming. My wife looked over at me and goes, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? Oh, my problem was I'd seen Jesus. Listen tonight, he's real. And he died for you. He wants to save you and deliver you. But you got to do it on his terms, praise God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye. All right, right behind repentance is what? Faith. You've got to believe that he hears and answers prayer. You've got to believe that he'll forgive you. You've got to believe that he's got power to forgive you. You've got to believe that he'll do what the Word of God says. It says there, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do it, but you and I've got to ask for it. Repent for it. Lord, have mercy on me. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. I'm going to tell you, there's some people need some good cleaning. I'm in the cleaning business. I've done it for over 40 years. Listen tonight. I told somebody the other day, I said, doctors, they say they practice medicine. I've got into some things where I had to practice or experiment, a better word, of how to get it clean. I mean, they want this clean and they want that clean. Can you do it? Yeah. But I can't do in 30 minutes what it took you 5 years to build up. It's going to take a while for me to get that stuff off there, but I think I can do it. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. There's people that are so deep in sin. And there was a man one time by the name of Jack Ethington. We worked for Lloyd X. Some of you may know Lloyd. You don't know Jack. Jack and Lloyd were cousins, or Jack and Judy maybe were cousins. And Jack worked for him, and we were over at a house, and Jack was cleaning a tile kitchen, them little tiles, about like that. Had old grout in it, and the grease was in there, and the pits were pitted with the pitties, it was pitted and so forth. And he was working and working, and he wasn't making it look like Jack wanted to. And Lloyd walked in, and he looked at Lloyd. He said, Lloyd! He said, yeah, Jack. He said, you finally found something I can't clean. And Lloyd looked at him and said, what's that, Jack? He said, I can't get this stuff clean. Listen, folks, tonight, Jesus can clean anything, praise God. There's not a sin in the catalog of sin that he can wash and make clean if you'll come and repent and believe that he can do it, praise the Lord. Just come on. He'll do it for you. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Oh, tonight, and cleanse us. I'm going to tell you, when I get through with it, I want it so clean you can see your image in it, so to speak. I like the stainless steel and all those faucets. I love them to shine. I love the seats to be so white that you can see in it, so to speak. Oh, tonight, he wants to be able to see his image. When he looks down there, he's clean, praise God. Oh, I've washed him. I've cleaned him. Oh, you bring those children. Went to the house one time. Didn't know I was going to get into all this. You pray for me. Went to the house one time to do a wood floor. And what met me outside was a gorgeous, beautiful, long-haired white dog that stood about that high. Friendly, big, old, pretty boy. And he was so sweet and so soft that I couldn't wait for them to leave where I'd get my hands on him. They told me, said, we'll be leaving a little bit. We're going to leave it with you. I said, fine. Well, there were some other workers around there, and they told me that the day before that, the dog, it had rained, and this dog, there's a creek back there somewhere, and he went down and he got in that, and they said, folks, he was not a pretty puppy. He was muddy. If you know anything about red dirt in Oklahoma, this dog was dirty. And they said that he come up to the back door and the master seen him and intercepted him and he took him straight to the bathtub and he gave him a bath and shined him up, so to speak. Let me tell you folks tonight, we are not going to get into heaven dirty. We're going to need a bath in the blood. It's going to have to be washed and it's going to have to be done on Jesus' terms for you and I to get to heaven. How bad you want to go to heaven tonight.
Yes,
he wants to take you.
Yeah.
But you got to go on his terms. Oh, tonight, repent ye and believe the gospel. Can you believe tonight? Do you have faith that he's able to save you? Do you have faith that he's able to wash you from everything? Oh, tonight, they washed that dog up, got him good and clean, I guess kept him in the house, then when they left, and I got the floor where I wanted it, and the wax was drying and so forth, me and Puppy had a nice petting time. Oh, he was so soft, he was so white, he was so beautiful. Listen, the Lord wants to touch you, he wants to bless you, he wants to encourage you, he wants to strengthen you, but he wants you clean to do it, bless your heart. He wants to wash you and make you perfectly white. Whiter than snow. And he wants to get out and he wants to bless you.
Amen.
He wants to bless you tonight. Are you willing to let him do that? Do you want a blessing from God? Oh, tonight he wants to bless you. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord, 55 and 6 of Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now I said, let the wicked forsake his way. Repentance. And being willing to walk away from what you've done. Walk away from it and stay away from it. As good an example as I know of right now today is a man named David Gaines, which was my nephew. That man, that young man, he was, well, he's a few years younger than Rebecca and I. But he had high admiration for his aunt. And she wrote him a letter when he was 21 years old. He kept that letter for years. I've wanted to get my hands on it. I've not ever been able to do it. But she wrote him a letter and she laid it out scripture by scripture. She didn't spare a thing. Those that read it. She told me about it. We were going together at the time. And she told me about it. I forgot all about it until it got brought up years and years later. I've worked with that young man. Went behind closed doors and prayed with him and counseled him and so forth. But he kept going back into sin. He wouldn't keep it. He just... Go wild and go down and go back into sin. Finally, just threw everything overboard and he stayed out there for years. Well, in the fall of 12, I believe it was, he got in trouble. I didn't even know about it. Rebecca didn't know anything about it until she got sick. And he got in trouble. He got his leg hurt. And he was in trouble, heart, soul, mind, and body. And he called his Aunt Myrtle Sorrell and said, I need your help. Will you help me? And Uncle Tommy and Aunt Myrtle said, come on. They went. I think they actually went over there and got him, or Dwayne did, and brought him back to Guthrie, and they sent in to help him. And that young man prayed through. And he got saved, and he literally run for his life. He would not go back to Thayer. He didn't want to have anything to do with Thayer and Mammoth and all that. You know why? Because that's where his old buddies was. And he knew if he went back over there, there might be a chance that temptation would come and he would succumb to it. So he just flat run for his life and he walked away from all of it and stayed away from it. And it wasn't too long that Becky died January 13 and he died in February 14. About a year later, he'll preach his funeral. I'm going to tell you, he got it by the skin of his teeth, but folks, he got it. Listen, tonight he got it. He was willing to forsake. He was willing to run. He was willing to stay away from it. And he did it. And he had it. If I remember right, Sister Dina, he had a testimony the Wednesday night before he died of a heart attack Saturday night. And a good testimony. He sent texts out of encouragement and so forth to a number of people to bless him. He done it over and over. Listen, are you willing to forsake it? Are you willing to walk away from it? Are you willing to leave it? I can't do it. Some people, they have to leave a bad job. If you're out there in the booze industry, walk away from it. Oh, do whatever you got to do. Get the Lord on your side. Get down to where He's at. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Listen, there's people that's got thoughts tonight that ain't right, folks. All right now. I don't know what they are, but he does. You can't fool God. If the righteous, it said the unrighteous man is thought, that unrighteous man, listen, there's a lot of sin that's calculated before it's ever done. There's a lot of robberies, there's murders, there's gambling, there's all kind of things that happen and are set up and put together in the dark places. When I say dark, I'm talking about rooms back there where nobody knows anything about. They set these things up and then they go do them. God knows all about them. Before the sin was ever committed, He knows the thoughts, the robberies, the killings, the murders. They know what you're going to do before you do it. He wants you to give all that kind of stuff up. What is your thought pattern tonight? Let the wicked forsake, leave, turn, run. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, it's time to get His thoughts. It's time to tune in to God. It's time to think on the Word of God and to reflect on it and to dig into it and to pray and to seek and so forth and get away from all this other stuff. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up. Revelation 22 and 17. The clock and I ain't been friends for years. The faster I preach, the faster it goes, seems like. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise God. Oh, tonight, whosoever will, it's for whoever. All races, men, women, boys, girls, it's for everybody. Whosoever will. Listen, this thing is still open tonight for you. Won't you come? Let's stand and have a song. Oh, tonight the Lord wants to deliver. He wants to take you to heaven, but you're going to have to go on His terms. His Bible, His way. He wants to bless you tonight. Don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want some fire? Listen, it's time for Vance Bird to get some fire and some glory and to get really ripping and roaring and going, so to speak. It's time to get going for God tonight. Praise the Lord. We appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me.